Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:03 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 21st. I thought we'd kick off with the Chinese renminbi. It is weakening in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic manner, except for the fact that this looks like a very orderly consolidation above the trend mean. There's been a sequence of higher reaction lows for the dollar over the course of 2020, and there is the clear potential that China is going to deploy the renminbi as a trade tool, that they have demonstrated a clear willingness to use the renminbi as a policy tool on repeated occasions over the course of the last decade. There's nothing happened to question their resolve to continue to weaken the currency in the face of trade frictions. And trade frictions are certainly ramping up, and not least because the U.S. administration has probably correctly concluded that going hard on China is a vote winner. But on top of that, any of the opposition that might deem that the Trump administration is going too hard on China could be accused then of being not hard enough or being a traitor. So it is something of a win-win situation, provided it doesn't completely backfire. And of course, that is also a possibility. Now, there are a number of different points that have come up as a result of the party congress. The first is they're going to spend $1.4 trillion on additional technology, or pieces of technology. Now, the things that they're going to invest in will be artificial intelligence, probably quantum computing, deep learning, but then it'll also be in additional sensor arrays, certainly when they're trying to continue to deepen and deploy the social credit scoring mechanism, then they're going to want to have more sensors, more cameras, more ability to parse the data, come up with conclusions, and all of that is aimed in the first case, improving security measures, ensuring that the Communist Party remains in power, and then on top of that, trying to create a digital footprint so that the profile of every individual citizen can be monitored in real time, and their observance with the social norms handed down from the central government will then be measured against it. So they're extraordinarily ambitious in terms of what they think technology is capable of, and they're probably correct. Quite whether that is successful in quelling dissent is another story entirely. We don't exactly know what that is in fact going to look like. On the other side of the equation, they are starting to become progressively more authoritarian. When it comes to Hong Kong, the Hang Seng today was in negative territory, and it hasn't really been able to push up and out of this range, but that's not individual to the Hang Seng. There are plenty of other global indices that share a similar condition, where they haven't really gone anywhere in most of the last couple of months, or at least the last month. That has unwound part of the overextension relative to the trend mean. We do need to pay attention to what these things look like on a weekly basis. The peak was in 2018, and we've seen a substantial unwinding of speculative activity in that period. The 25,000 level represents the lower side of the overhead trading range. It is a key area of potential resistance. Then there is the additional point that the U.S. Senate has passed a bill almost unanimously to dictate that Chinese companies will no longer be able to list in the USA. Now, quite what they're going to do with companies that have already listed there is another question. Alibaba was in negative territory today, but overall it has looked like a recovery scenario, but it is going to have to hold the region of the trend mean if potential for additional higher lateral ranging is to be given the benefit of the doubt. For example, JD.com has accelerated higher, and it was in negative territory today. It is crying out for at least some consolidation in here. Of course, if the US does in fact attempt to rein in some of the speculation in some of the more successful Chinese companies, well, it is quite likely that China will reciprocate and impose tariffs on some of the most successful US companies, and particularly those that have got big operations in China. Well, Apple is obviously one of those. It is right in the region of its peak from back in January and February. This is a natural area where we might anticipate at least some support start or resistance starting to come back in. And the question is whether support will be found in the region of 300, which would still be a consistent advance. In fact, if we look at the advance up from the low in March, reactions have been limited to approximately $20. The one in April was perhaps a little larger than that, maybe $25. But the most recent was certainly 20. And therefore, a reaction of more than $25 would be required to question the consistency of the rebound. But I think we are due at least some consolidation. Then, of course, there is the point that Amazon relies on Chinese suppliers for a very significant quantity of the products it sells. And it's been holding job fairs for over a year. Well, perhaps not job fair is the correct terminology, but certainly fairs to attract Chinese companies and factories to send their inventory directly to Amazon warehouses all over the world. Well, of course, if there are additional tariffs, if there are additional restrictions on doing that, if we get to a point where there is going to be a further decoupling between the USA and the Chinese economies, then that is something that will hamper the ability of big companies to continue to prosper. And Amazon today put in a downside key reversal. Now, downside follow-through tomorrow would signal the peak of near-term significance. Now, of course, again, we do need to pay attention to what it looks like on a weekly chart. It's overbought in the short term. $2,000 is now a big psychological level for the share, in much the same way that $1,000 is a big psychological level for Google. And the share there is also somewhat overbought in the short term. NVIDIA is announcing earnings in here today, and it is also overbought in the short term. Now, the share's history has been that following earnings results, it does tend to pop on the upside. So it is going to have to do better tomorrow if at least some consolidation is to be avoided. Well, we've also got the fact that gold prices pulled back in here today, and we're down about $23, so unwinding the advance over the course of the last week. But this hasn't been a particularly dynamic move relative to the kinds of volatility that gold is capable of. There is still something of an overbought condition, but I think the more relevant consideration is that we're right in the region of the $1,800 area, and $1,800 had been an area of resistance all the way between 2011 and 12. It's a bit of a big psychological region. It's a natural area where we might anticipate at least some consolidation for the gold price. Silver was also in negative territory in here today. And I think it's also relevant to point out that reactions of about a dollar have been de rigueur. We have had one that was a little bit more than that, perhaps $1.50. But this reaction so far has only been about 60 cents. So there is the potential that we could have silver coming down and testing the upper side of the underlying trading range, because we know that it's done that before. And it would really need to take out the peak from the upper side of the underlying trading range to signal that this is more than just some consolidation. I think it is a very similar situation for platinum. And platinum was down in a more dynamic manner in here today. So it is now right in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range. Palladium has rebounded perhaps more impressively. It has got more room to consolidate in, and it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. I thought it was also interesting that with a generally weak environment on the precious metal sector, Nickel was able to squeeze out an additional advance in here today, although it was off its peak. The most important thing it's done, though, has been to break that downtrend overall. Now, when we look at government bonds, there is increasing speculation that the UK is going to move into negative interest rate territory. And now the gilt yields out to maturities of 5 years are in negative territory. And the UK, for the first time ever, sold bonds with a negative yield yesterday. But we're now seeing that more and more of the UK's bonds are moving into negative territory in terms of their yield. Now, when we think about the total of bonds trading with negative yields, it has rebounded. It's up to about 12 trillion right now. Now, that is nowhere near the peak that we saw back in 2019, but it is continuing to recover, and there is continued speculation that more countries are going to go into negative interest rates. We also have the potential that quantitative easing measures are going to be deployed in more countries. I think it was really deemed to be very unlikely that emerging markets would be able to deploy quantitative easing measures, not least because they don't get to issue bonds in their own currencies. But both Indonesia and the Philippines are both buying their own bonds right now. That does suggest that we are moving progressively into a phase where extraordinary monetary measures are becoming de rigueur, and that there is the clear potential that the number of countries that offer a positive yield is going to contract. Well, that is part of the reason why US has been one of the biggest magnets for global liquidity. When we look at yields on bonds all over the world, the yield on the Italian 10-year is at 1.99%. And on the 10-year in the US, it's 1.72%. I think anybody could conclude that the US is probably better or more reliable in terms of getting one's money back than Italy is in the current situation. Well, then that has to enter into some sort of calculation from the perspective of investors, that the US is still an attractive bond market. Despite the fact that they are running these massive deficits, you can still pick up a positive yield, which suggests that investors are at least willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And when we then think about that yield and how it compares with the stock market, well, the yield spread is now around a negative 1.3%, and it hasn't really moved a lot. So despite the fact that we've had a significant rebound in the S&P 500 and a number of companies cancelling dividends and cutting dividends, the fact is that the yield on the index is still reasonable, because we haven't seen a big move in treasuries either. But you're still picking up an additional 138 basis points by investing in stocks over government bonds. And that is one of the clearest beneficiaries. So while there is certainly the potential that we are going to see some consolidation in stock markets, and that the S&P 500 is still right in the region of this psychological 3,000 level, and I think we are likely to see some continued pause and consolidation around this level, because to push back above it is a big ask. We also have the clear scope for small caps to unwind their oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But then the question is, will they be able to do more than that? We have the a number of governments continuing to push out additional liquidity. U.S. Treasury is talking about the need for additional stimulative measures. And that means that there's going to have to be additional bonds printed. It means there's going to be additional liquidity pouring into the market. So that is one of the clearest rationales for being bullish, that there is going to continue to be a lot of liquidity pouring into the market, even after we have passed the peak in the infection rates for the vast majority of developed market countries. So while there is room for consolidation, there is obviously also this very clear liquidity tailwind supporting markets. Well, what I also thought was interesting in here today was the fact that Bitcoin was down about $560. It has been trading in lockstep, or at least in a rather similar manner to the precious metals over the course of the last while. And it has not quite yet been able to sustain a move above the 10,000 level. And it's going to have to do that in order to clearly demonstrate that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.